Okay, we're continuing in our Revelation Bible study. We're covering the sixth trumpet judgment, Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. And we are on verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And here we're dealing with these 200 million demonic horsemen, these hordes. The fire, smoke, and brimstone, of course, are things that are associated with judgment throughout Scripture. Note here the similarity between Revelation 9:17 in the reference to these demonic creatures with heads of the horses being like the heads of lions. And in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 28 through 30, we read, "Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hooves will seem like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions, as they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by the clouds." So Isaiah may be speaking prophetically here of the sixth trumpet judgment. Revelation 9:18 reads that by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. So these beasts were as evil dragons. And even more so, they have tails. For in verse 19 we read, "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm." So their tails are also agents of death, and the tails are compared to serpents. Very interesting, the parallelism here between these 200 million demonic horsemen and the dragons and Medusa figures that we find in mythology. The only difference is that these things are real. These things are very real. And these demonic hordes are going not to torture, but to kill one third of mankind. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, we read, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts." So even though this sixth trumpet judgment, just as those that had gone before, is designed to bring men to repentance, for that is God's perfect will, generally speaking, it has the opposite result. Men further entrench themselves in their sins. And we see that today, don't we? When the gospel is presented, there are a few that accept it and follow the narrow path. The rest of them, when they reject the gospel, what they are doing is further entrenching themselves in whatever sin they're involved in. Now, the milieu of that day, that is the tribulation days of the sixth trumpet judgment, is that of idolatry, demon worship, murder, sorcery, sexual sin, and theft. So if you think things are bad now, friends, it's not going to get any better. But for those who believe, at least we've got a hope. We have an eternal home in heaven where there's no more sin because God is there. No more tears, no more sadness, no more crying, no more evil. But as long as this old earth is still around, There are going to be all of these things in increasing measure. Now, as we fast approach the midpoint of the tribulation, we have an interruption in the narrative of the prophecy until we pick up in Revelation chapter 11 in verse 15 when the seventh trumpet sounds. And in Revelation 11:15, jumping ahead, we read, "And then the seventh angel sounded." And after that, the bowl judgments are soon to be released in the second half of the tribulation. But we've got some sections here in between. And we've got a section coming up on the little book and the two witnesses prior to the final trumpet blast. So, by way of review, the events of the first half of the tribulation, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and we're going to come to a summation in Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14. So in our Bible prophecy timeline, working back to page 19 in your outline, section 15, we have the general apostasy of the church, so that is the increasing falling away from the true biblical faith, which was once for all given to the saints. The next thing that's going to happen is the rapture. That's the first installment of Christ's second coming, which is for his saints. He comes once for his saints, and 7 years later he comes back with his saints. Then the seven-year tribulation will begin, not with the rapture, with the signing of the covenant between Israel and Antichrist. And at that point, the first half of the tribulation will begin. That's 3.5 year time period. And that covers Revelation chapter 6 through 9. The Antichrist arrives on the scene. Ecclesiastical Babylon is established. The two witnesses begin their ministry. Then we have the seven seal judgments, the revival and tribulation times led by Jewish evangelists, and the trumpet judgments. So in the Olivet Discourse, this is Matthew 24, where Jesus painted a prophetic picture of the tribulation days, verses 9 through 14. This is where we're at. "And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So all throughout this period, this first half of the tribulation, we have God raising up witnesses. He's raising up faithful believers and preachers of the gospel, ultimately raising up 144,000 Jewish evangelists to minister during this time, at which time they will be sealed. And in fact, the believers on the earth will be sealed from a number of the things which take place in these days. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 is a parenthetical section on the little book. And we're going to go back with John, the Apostle John, up into the heavenlies in his vision, if you will, in the book of Revelation. And the focus now is moving from more earthward to more heavenward. And then afterwards, we're going to go back down and we're going to take a look at the two witnesses who minister during the first half of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 reads, "I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire." So this is another mighty angel, glorious in appearance, but this cannot be Jesus Christ, because this angel is distinct from Jesus Christ, because in verses 5 and 6, he raises up his hand to heaven and swears by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it. And according to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that one is, in fact, Jesus Christ, God the Son of Man, the God-man. Verse 2 in Revelation chapter 10 reads, "He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land." So this little book is, in fact, the second scroll mentioned in Revelation. So in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 1, we read, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne," so this is God, "a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." So this is God the Father, and he has a scroll which is sealed. And of course, the one who is worthy to open the scroll is Jesus, who had redeemed all mankind to God through his own blood. So this is the second mention of a scroll, and it's a little book as we read it in the New King James Version. And what this scroll contains is the rest of the future prophecy in Revelation. And we compare this with Revelation 10:11, which says, "And he said to me, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.'" So we might say that God did a little bit of spoon feeding with regard to John the Evangelist, John the Apostle here. And up until this time, through the end of Revelation chapter 9, he had a certain amount of revelation, and he's been faithful in declaring that revelation. So now God is going to give him more revelation. Note that God's word is learned by measure. First, the gospel must sink in, and then the essential truths regarding the gospel, for instance, the doctrine of baptisms and the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of the doctrines of grace and various other things are going to settle in. And then we get into even more deeper truths, even the more deeper things of Scripture, such as the things we're studying here. So for the new believer starts usually either in the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew, and then they read through the Gospel a couple of times. This is what I recommend anyway. And then after that, read through the New Testament at least once. And if you feel like you need to do the New Testament again, by all means, do the New Testament again. But don't do that more than twice before you get into the Old Testament, because otherwise you're going to miss some of the big picture that is taught in the Scriptures. So even though the New Testament is Christ revealed, the Old Testament is Christ concealed, and it really gives you the backdrop of everything that goes on in the New Testament. Very, very little of what's in the New Testament is absent a Old Testament backdrop. And the book of Revelation is no exception. There are references and things. If you can't find the answers within the book of Revelation, you can generally find it elsewhere in the Bible, and it's really throughout the Bible. It could be in the book of Matthew, but even more we find things in the book of Isaiah, and in the book of Daniel, sometimes the Psalms, and Zechariah, some of the other prophets. So there's many, many things in the book of Revelation that are brought more to light by understanding the Old Testament. So it can work both ways. Revelation chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 reads, "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them.'" So John's going to prophesy the things in the book, but he's not going to prophesy the things that the seven thunders, these are angelic beings, have stated here. So that is going to be set aside for a time of greater prophetic knowledge. And in the outset of this study, we took a look at Daniel, Daniel chapter 12 in verse 4. And we read how Daniel was told to seal up the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And that speaks of prophetic knowledge. So we continue to move through and get more prophetic knowledge as we go through the book of Revelation.